Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is the Savior of sinners. I want to encourage you today about the matter of having personal devotions, a time that you get alone with the Lord and that you read the Scriptures, that you hide God's Word in your heart, that you bow down to what God the Lord has said in His Word, and you're seeking to please Him. Not that you read the Bible and see what's in the Bible, and then you simply walk away from it, saying, oh yeah, I've read now, I'm ready to go on my way. No, you're seeking counsel from the Lord. You're wanting to know the mind of God about how to handle situations, how to address matters, how to approach God's throne, how to pray. Do you wanting to know Him? That's the one thing we seek to know, is to know Him. And not to know how to simply navigate through a troublesome time or going through stormy seas, but to know Him. For the Lord is in charge, and He's ahead, and He's before. He's behind. He's the shepherd who leads. He's the angel who is behind to guard and to keep us. He's over us to protect us. He's the one, the hand that carries us along. And when we study His Word, we learn of all of this. It's very important for us to have that precious time alone with the Lord. There is no substitute for this. You can go to church. You can be involved in church work. You can be involved in a ministry such as this, a daily radio broadcast, and I don't think there's any greater demand than that of having a daily radio program. The day rolls around, the time slot is available, and it must be filled with the program. It must be filled with words of encouragement or teaching or whichever type program it is. But still, there has to be the personal time alone with the Lord that the minister of the Word is having his soul ministered to by the God of the Word, the Lord of the Word. If you are to give to others, then you must go to the Lord who has that which you are to give to others. And if you are seeking to be a godly mother, then go to the Lord alone in your time of quietness, that you might receive from Him to be the godly mother that you ought to be. If you are to be a godly father, then you must have your time alone with the Lord, going to Him, receiving from Him that which you must minister unto your family. If you want, you see, the thing happens so often this way, is that people will want their children to obey them when they're not obeying God. They don't care what the Lord has said about a matter. They've made up their mind about an issue, and they're going in their direction. They've chosen to do or to buy or to sell or to take or to give or to go or to stay. They are not asking the Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? They read, but they think that that's something altogether different. That's for somebody else. But when you read the Scriptures, are you willing to bow down and to submit yourself to the Lord? Submit yourself to God the Lord. If you will, you'll be blessed mightily of the Lord. You'll grow and be a blessing unto others as we seek to be. Heavenly Father, we ask again today for a great sense of Thy presence. I ask for Thy power. I ask for wisdom to set these truths before Thy people who've come. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake, knowing, Lord, that we cannot do this ministry in our flesh or strength. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Now look, please, In the book of Genesis, we saw recently that Abimelech made the statement, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" Remember, Abraham, who is called the friend of God, who is called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and we'll see that in a moment. But he is called the friend of God, and when he came to a place in his life, he pretended, or not did he pretend, he took a thread of a piece of fabric, that was, it's like one, you know, you look at a garment, and the garment might be, yellow and blue and red, and you take a portion of a pattern and pull out a yellow thread and say, "I am wearing a yellow shirt," when the shirt might be red, but it has a pattern, a portion of a slither of thread in it that is yellow. Now, would you be telling the truth when you said, "I'm wearing a yellow shirt," when in essence, there is just a portion, just a thread, some kind of pattern, some kind of design with one single thread or a few threads in it, and the shirt is primarily red? Are you telling the truth when you say that you're wearing a yellow shirt? Well, this is what Abraham did when he told Abimelech that Sarah was his sister. Now, that wasn't the truth. It was the truth, but it wasn't. She was not acting in the capacity of his sister. She was in the capacity of a wife. And Abimelech says, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" He wanted to know what could have moved you to make a statement like this that would make you think that we were going to kill you for your wife. Now, perhaps Abraham knew of how people were in that day, and he put together a plan for himself to defend himself. Well, he answers Abimelech, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place." Now, there is a place to camp for a while. When the fear of God is not in a place, people live like wild heathens. When the fear of God is not in a group of people, not amongst a group of people, they live a very vile and wicked life, very much like wild animals, a pack of dogs. That's the way men live when they don't fear God. They are roving in a pack, and they're the mob mentality. I was looking at one of these special programs about law and justice or something like that, how that people will, when they're in a crowd and when they get in a mob, they feel like, well, the identity of the mob is anonymous. Nobody knows who's in the mob. And they go through and they go on the rampage and they riot, breaking windows, wrecking cars, maiming human life and destroying people's property, vandalizing, because they say that no one knows who we are. See, there is no fear of God in the heart, and so they say there is no need to regard the law. Well, something has changed all of that today, because now with video cameras and through the use of computers, the cameras can zoom in on an individual, enhance the vision, and come up with a very clear picture of the person involved in the act. Now that strikes another note of fear on the hearts of others when they realize they're not hidden. And a person who fears God thinks about the Lord and thinks of how God sees his actions. And he is concerned with how his actions appear in the sight of God. He doesn't want to offend God. So when that person is out of the presence of other people, he still thinks about the Lord. He wants to know how God views his deeds. David said that he would walk in his own house in the right way because he feared the Lord. Now, he had gone through some difficult times in his life when he gave in to his lust. But when a man fears the Lord, it makes no difference where you place him. He is still concerned about the Lord. When a man does not fear the Lord, they will do all kinds of things. And so Abraham said, I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. They probably would have. I'm sure he had known of cases like this. And yet indeed, he does go on and say, now this is where I brought this line in about her being my sister. Well, he said, she is indeed my sister. Now, how was she his sister? Well, Lot's father had married two different women. And Abraham goes on to say that, yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. So Abraham's father had two wives. And now he marries one daughter of this other woman's family that was married to Abraham's father. So this is what he was standing on. But again, the truth of the matter is, Sarah was not acting in the capacity of a sister when she traveled with Abraham when he went down in the plains of Gerar. She was his wife. And so you can see how the Lord intervened. She became his wife, and the Lord acknowledged her as his wife. Okay? I use this, we can tie this in with what the Lord said in the Gospel according to John, chapter 4. There was a woman who came to the well one day, and the woman had been married five times. The Lord says, you have had five husbands. Each one had been considered by the Lord to be a husband. So the Lord considers Sarah to be Abraham's wife. Now, how does God see these things? Sometimes people will say, no, the first one that you were married to, that's your only husband. Well, you're in conflict with what the Lord said in Matthew, in the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, when he said to this woman, you've had five husbands, and he distinguishes between just simply living together as opposed to being married to one. Okay, there is a big difference. He said, you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. Okay, so the Lord makes the distinction. So when you have these liberals talking about it's just a matter of a piece of paper, you don't have to have that, we'll just live together. Well, you're just telling God that he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're breathing his air, living in his world, and telling him you're going to live the way you want to and set up your own rules. It will never work. You're guilty before God when you don't acknowledge marriage vows, and you need to get that matter fixed in your life before you can be in fellowship with God himself. Father, we pray that someone will come to know Christ Jesus the Lord as personal Lord and Savior and repent of sins and be born again and know the forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, do join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson here in Greenville, South Carolina. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.